If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow & Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N, Rakuten.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Top of the hour, 1 o'clock Eastern, 12 o'clock Central here on Sports Grid. Thanks for watching our show today. I'm Craig Mish, along with George Kurtz, who fills in for Davis Maddock and for me throughout the week. In fact, I believe George will be in tomorrow as well. We've got plenty to discuss, and we're going to get to our headlines here in just a second. George, the MLB hot stove kind of going crazy at this point. Looks like we're headed for a lockout on Wednesday, and we're going to talk a lot more baseball. We're going to talk a lot more about the fantasy ramifications of some of these moves. But I'd love to share with you what I think is the one move that I don't like the most out of all of these. I thought it was really peculiar when the Tigers were all in on Carlos Correa, because I just didn't think that they were going to end up getting him, which they did not. It feels like they have settled a little bit here on getting Javier Baez to sign a six-year, $140 million contract. This is my probably least favorite move of the offseason thus far. I don't know why. I'm just not a huge fan of it.
I'm not a huge Baez guy either. Once again, I think he's a smart baseball player, and he did cut down on his wild swings this year with the Mets. Yeah, usually he's the 11th commandment, right? Thou shalt not pass without being swung at. You'll swing at anything there. He cut that down a little bit, but I don't know. His personality grates me the wrong way. The thumbs down thing that was never going to work well in New York. All right, the thumbs down thing. That was just, come on. What are you thinking? So I'm not a fan here. Tigers, people forget they have money. This is an organization that has money. They're not a small market team. We think Detroit, because they've been terrible for the small market. They're not. They've got cash. They went out and spent it. Good for them. I don't want to see them being an afterthought all these years. But I'm not a big fan of this move either. But then again, what was your other choice? If you need a shortstop, you're going to go 340 for Correa? What do we make a story here? How much money is he worth? Is he that guy? Didn't have a great year this year. He also gets hurt a decent amount of time here. So does Correa, by the way. So I think they found that they had to do something there. I think they tried to get the fans motivated. So they went with Baez, someone who's played in that vicinity. So it is what it is, but I didn't like it either.
Yeah, that was my least favorite one. I mean, Scherzer's third year is going to be rough to pay out, but look, you got to pay to get him in the first place. And I guess that's what the Mets have done. All right, here are headlines here on the show on this Tuesday. Joe Harris going to be out 4 to 8 weeks for the Nets due to ankle surgery. Knicks-Nets tonight, always a fun game. Five-game NBA slate. We're going to bring Brett in for our DFS look coming up in just a few minutes. We got the word. Dalvin Cook, Deebo Samuel, both out this week and expected to miss 1 to 2 weeks. And so I'm on my crying towel on Deebo Samuel, as you know, George. This is somebody that is probably my top investment in 2021. Got to find a replacement there, and I don't have one. And then the Miami Marlins trade for Jacob Stallings, the catcher from the Pittsburgh Pirates. Miami, since JT Realmuto, really has not had a viable option there. Jorge Alfaro was their backup. Was their starter, and I would expect him to be moved or non-tendered. That deadline is coming up tonight. Another catcher that I reported earlier, George, was traded. Signed with the Chicago Cubs, Yan Gomes, to a 2-year deal. I would have to think that it's interesting that the two catchers in fantasy baseball that we had 1 and 2 going back a couple of years ago, maybe right before Realmuto became number one, was Gary Sanchez and Wilson Contreras. And there's probably a pretty good chance that neither of them after today is in a Cubs or Yankees uniform. I think they're both going to be on the move.
Boy, you mentioned that non-tendered deadline is, what, 8 p.m. Eastern time tonight, I believe. Can the Yankees pull that trigger? I don't know. Cashman, for one thing, he seems to not want to admit he made mistakes. And he's probably made mistakes here with Sanchez being behind him year after year after year. And I get it. The guy can hit when his head's right, but he's never going to be a good catcher. He's not athletic enough behind there. They've tried once again. Let's just have you sit regular. We're not going to make your position inside or outside because we know you can't reach. If our pitches are that wild, if you're in your setup inside, you can't reach outside. It's a wild pitch, or it's, you know, once again, pass ball, whatever. It's not working, and maybe his defense has affected his hitting. I've always thought personally, Craig, that his hitting seemed to go downhill when the Yankees acquired Stanton. And while it has nothing to do with Stanton, I think you see Stanton hitting 900-foot home runs, Judge 900-foot home runs, and he wants us to do the same thing. So he became pull happy. And everything, he tried to hit 900-foot home runs rather than realizing, you know, 315 down the line, Yankee Stadium, counts the same. Counts the same in right field. Hit the ball the other way. I think that was always his biggest problem there. Just never could make the adjustments. And maybe he was never going to be a good defensive catcher. But if the Yankees were to make this move tonight, you can't go with Higashioka. He was exposed last year as the backup. So they'd have to go out and get somebody. And they were interested in Stallings here. Contreras is definitely on the move from Chicago. It would make sense. But the Yankees non-tender Sanchez, they're put over a barrel. As now Chicago would, you know, have all the leverage in those talks. I have a funny feeling Sanchez stays for one more year. I think this is last year for his free agency. I think they'll pay him one more year, and then he moves on.
Well, it's been a definitely up and down career for Sanchez in New York. We'll see if that continues. Wilson Contreras sent a cryptic tweet out about an hour ago with him on a plane, basically essentially meaning that he's on the way out of Chicago. It's a new day for the Cubs, too. Of course, with Anthony Rizzo being gone and John Lester, Javier Baez, Chris Bryant, maybe Contreras, Jake Arrieta. I mean, I could keep going. Like, basically every Cub from their World Series championship team is gone. All right, we got plenty more to come here on Fantasy Sports Today. It's time for us to give you the edge on FanDuel for tonight's daily fantasy action. And guess what? I got lucky today because we got more than two games being played on this slate tonight. We actually have five. So Brett will join me next, and we'll go through that slate right here on FST. Stay on the grid. Break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back. Fantasy Sports Today here on this Tuesday. Five games tonight in the NBA. So get out your FanDuel app. It's time for us to help you set a lineup for this evening's games. And Brett Levy has been patiently waiting behind the scenes today to pop on the air and go over some of his picks tonight and who he can play. And I see some really big names on the slate today. So that has me, Brett, a little excited. And good to see you again. Happy holidays to you, and happy Hanukkah and Thanksgiving and all that good stuff.
Yeah, happy holidays, Craig. I hope you had a good Thanksgiving. And yeah, we got some good games tonight. Knicks-Nets should be a lot of fun. I think Lakers-Sacramento could be competitive, so That could be a good one. Golden State Phoenix as well. Obviously, two very good teams. So, some good basketball tonight.
All right, so before we get to tonight's slate, let's talk about your view here with now, I guess, more than a month of the NBA season in the books. We're heading toward Christmas. I know that's usually the 25th is sort of the mark on the calendar where things start to get serious in the league thus far. What are some of the big surprises for you, and maybe what are there some of the big disappointments? And then we'll dive into the DFS angle.
So I guess what I'm disappointed in is the Boston Celtics. I thought they'd be able to bounce back a little bit this year. And I don't know if this is a surprise, but I look pretty smart saying Josh Giddey is going to have a pretty good rookie campaign, Craig. We've seen Evan Mobley get hurt, Cade Cunningham miss time already due to injury. And then struggled shooting the ball when he first came back. So Josh Giddey playing well out of the gate hasn't been as good as Scotty Barnes. I guess Scotty Barnes, it's fair to say, could be the biggest surprise too, leading the Rookie of the Year race at this point. So I just think, the rookies that are playing well are not the ones that maybe everyone was focused in on early. And I think Giddey and Scotty Barnes and even Evan Mobley when he was healthy were proving that those were good picks there.
Yeah, no, definitely so. And Scotty Barnes, of course, I'll say it again, Brett, you know where he went to high school. Let's not forget. U School, Nova Southeastern University, which is where my kids go to the same school. All right, before he transferred, story for another day. Okay, NBA tonight. Let's take a look at it here. Let's go to the smalls and then the bigs. We got De'Aaron Fox of Sacramento. Brett's got him locked in at 7,600. Tyrese Halliburton is at 6,300. Desmond Bane, 5,400. And of course, got to have somebody from the New York, New Jersey game. Emmanuel Quickley is just, wow, 4,100 tonight. All right, Brett, break it down. Why are we going with these guys tonight?
Well, Craig, the biggest news probably in fantasy basketball over the last week is Kemba Walker being taken out of the Knicks lineup. Quickley has played really well in some of those minutes he's been given. Alec Burks is the starting guard now for the New York Knicks, so he's the guy you really want, but his price is a little more there, Craig. So I'm going with Quickley off the bench. Desmond Bane's played really well over the last five games. The Ja Morant stuff, I think, will actually help some of the ancillary players on the Grizzlies have a more complete stat sheet. I don't think the Grizzlies are a better team without Ja Morant, but if he's scoring 30 points and giving 12 assists, that's a lot of points and assists being taken away from other guys. So I think everyone's stat sheets will look a little better. I'm not sure the Grizzlies' win column will look as good. And then, look, I like Tyrese Haliburton and De'Aaron Fox as a backcourt. Maybe I'm a little biased, but I think they're both just priced too low for me not to take the roll of the dice there. So, yeah, big matchup tonight against the Lakers, but I've got the Kings backcourt.
All right, so we'll go with it tonight. Sounds like Brett likes Sacramento also against the spread, by the way, if he's giving you the wink wink on this one too. All right, now to the big men tonight, and that's where Brett has chosen to spend his money. He's going to throw down over 20 tonight between the Kevin Durant and LeBron James pricing here. 11,000 on Durant, 10,600 on LeBron James. We have Brandon Clark, 4,600. Trey Lyles at 3,800, and then Jaren Jackson Jr. at 6,500. Let's tackle these guys.
Yeah, well, I guess technically LeBron's a game time decision, Craig. So we'll be careful, talking about him too much. But those are the two best players on the slate, so I just want them. I guess Steph Curry, again, another elite player. But I think De'Aaron Fox is a pretty good point guard in his own right, Craig. So I can, dip down to De'Aaron Fox and be just as happy. So I get to play KD and LeBron. Brandon Clark and Kyle Anderson for the Grizzlies are pretty much interchangeable in my mind. The Grizzlies happen to play the Raptors tonight, Craig. So I rolled the dice with a Canadian going back to Canada. I don't necessarily think that's really the reason you should pick him, but that's kind of how I split the difference there. I was like, Maybe he'll be a little extra motivated tonight going back to his home country. Speaking of Canadians, they've got Trey Lyles. In his last two games, he's put up over 25 FanDuel points in each of them, and he's $3,800, and it allows me to reach back into the mid-range and get Jaren Jackson Jr. against the Toronto Raptors. So, yeah, I think, obviously, most of my money going to the small forward position, Craig.
Yeah, it looks that way, and we'll see. Again, you know, some of this is rest with LeBron and with Durant, too. So we'll just have to keep an eye out on that. All right, so when we last talked last week, Brett, I asked you, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, how long is this win streak going to go for the Phoenix Suns? And I believe it was at 13 when we talked about this last week. It is now at 16, and we're approaching Western Conference historic levels for win streaks here. So I guess the question is, Brett, with the Suns playing, and by the way, not covering in every game either, I've noticed that, but the Suns playing as well as they are, I mean, you got a number for me here, 19, 20, 21. I mean, we're talking about record-breaking stuff here if it goes that far.
Yeah, tonight's a huge game, Craig. Believe it or not, they've won 16 in a row, and they're still one game back of the Golden State Warriors. So tonight's going to be an interesting one. I would say probably just take the dog because I think it's going to be very close and go down to the wire. But look, Steph has been incredible. And this team in Golden State, they're getting Klay Thompson back soon, within a month here, Craig. So Golden State and Phoenix seem like they could be fighting all the way down the stretch here for the number one seed in the West. And to be honest with you, if Phoenix wins tonight, it probably gets to 20 games. And then it starts getting really hard there. But I think they could stay motivated. Three more games, night in, night out. Let's get to 20. And then maybe you start fading them. Like, how much longer can this go?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it keeps going. And then we have another long winning streak in the NBA. I think, if I'm not mistaken, the Bucks have won. The Milwaukee Bucks have won like seven in a row or something like that, too. So a couple of long streaks, one in the East, one in the West. We'll check back in on that tomorrow here on the show. All right, Brett, thanks again. We'll check back in with you when we tackle fantasy or reality coming up in about 15 minutes. Thanks again.
Yeah, no problem. See you then.
All right, Brett Levy with us here on Sports Grid. All right, we got to take a quick time out here on the show. Programming note, tomorrow's show, a little bit different here. We're going to have George Kurtz in the house along with Davis Maddock, and George will be back here again on Thursday. I got to cover some press conferences for baseball and some stuff tomorrow, but I'll be checking in with you guys here on Sports Grid and be back hosting with you on Friday again. And on Sunday, even a little bit more different. I want to appreciate and thank all of you who have been watching our Sunday morning show on Fantasy Sports Today with myself and Joe Pizzapia and Matt Stryker. But I'll be shifting over this Sunday morning to host Pro Football Today along with Mike Blewett on Sunday, too. So I'll be on the air at 10 a.m. Eastern. But our show every day, noon to 2 Eastern. We got you covered here, fantasy football discussion, basketball, as well as the hot stove in baseball. And we'll be right back. Great.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
For the latest news, notes, and information, and of course, watch Sports Grid as much as you can. We're on the air 18 hours a day live, but when we're not live, we are posting all of our videos for you over on Twitter, and that's at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV. So if you're a big fan of our show here on Fantasy Sports Today, that's great, but we got a lot of other great shows too, like The Early Line and The Morning After and Scott Farrell Coast to Coast and Gabe Morency and Cam Stewart, and every show that George Kurtz hosts, which is, from what I understand, every show here for the next 3 days. Follow us on Twitter, at SportsGrid and at SportsGrid TV. Well, George, it looks like in a little bit over 24 hours from now, maybe about 36 hours approximately, We're not going to be talking a lot of baseball for a while here on the show, as this lockout between the owners and players appears to be imminent. So therefore, we've had this crazy rash of signings, bigger than any winter meetings that I've ever been at, as we close in on 11:59 at midnight on Wednesday. Now, today, interestingly enough, is probably the last day that you're going to see signings, because the players, essentially, as crazy as this sounds, they got to be near an airport. Because in order to get signed, and you know, George, how many millions are involved in these deals, in order to get signed, you have to take a physical. It is a mandatory thing with a baseball team and with any team in sports. They want to make sure that you are who you say you are, right? So today's the day. If you get signed today, you could take that physical tomorrow, pass your physical, 11:59, boom, you're good. So I think that the craziness is done after today. I think so. But we have had a wild ride here for about 72 hours. And to me, George, this is the way it should be done. Like this is what the winter meeting should have been all of these years. Set a deadline where you can sign free agents and we'll get this kind of fun.
Listen, I agree with you. But then again, let's say we did have this deadline, now you're going to have 2 months of nothing. Right? So I guess there's that too. You can't have everything in life. But I said, what was the joke I made earlier in the show? We should have a threat of a lockout every year to get this kind of action. All right? Because it's been a fun 72 hours or so with all these signings and trying to, and you're like, wow. I mean, the Rangers have just blown my mind with all the moves they made. Really blown with Semien and, you know, and Seager. And we're going to get John Gray there. I mean, good for you. Good for you for going for it there. So it has been a fun 72 hours. I know a lot of people thought that yesterday was the last day to really for the big signs because of what you mentioned. Because not only you have to get these guys a physical, but the contract language has to be worked out. What if MLB says no? You know, the contract's bad for whatever reason it might be. Oh, it's past 11:59. It's done. So I do wonder if we're going to have anything more today. You know, you said we're 36, probably 34 and a half hours away here from Armageddon.
Yeah.
So we'll see. What's going to happen here? I think we're all wondering Correa. And at this point, I'm thinking maybe he's not doing anything because we're not even really hearing any rumors right now. I'm thinking maybe he's going to be one of those guys that we're going to have to wait till we come back.
Yeah, very, very much mixed signals here because on the one hand, you could say a guy like Correa is waiting because he thinks that more money is going to be available to him after this lockout. But on the other hand, what does that tell you about the two players that we're going to take a look at next? Corey Seager. George, he got over $300 million from the Texas Rangers. He's going to play shortstop. Marcus Semien, over $100 million for the Texas Rangers. He's going to play second base. You mentioned John Gray. No one's really quite sure, for fantasy purposes, George, what the hitting environment is in this new ballpark. It's sort of like up in the air a little bit. And I think, George, honestly, the reason why is because Texas is just not good. Like, they just haven't had any hitters. So we really don't know what it's going to look like in this park. But Seager, who won a World Series MVP and won a World Series with the Dodgers, you know, is a very, very good player when healthy. Probably has had, you know, some injury issues along the way. Texas not worried about that. They're kind of going for it. And Semien had that unbelievable year last year. Hard to believe that he can match that with the season that he had in Toronto, but I guess that's what Texas is betting on. So a pretty monster upgrade in the infield and a long way from, I don't know, who was it? Elvis Andrews at short and Nick Solak at second, or I mean, I don't know, Michael Young 10 years ago. I don't know. This is like a huge, huge upgrade for them.
It is. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt it's a major upgrade there. Now, with Seager, he has to stay on the field. And you could also make an argument, by the way, that they would be better off if it's Semien at shortstop. He's a better defender. Seager really hasn't been the same throwing-wise since he had Tommy John. Doesn't have that kind of zip anymore. So like I said, you can make that up. He's a little too big for the position anyway, but I don't think he signed yet to play third base. He's not going to play second. So Semien was more than likely to play second. I wonder how they're going to use him in the order. Are they going to be 1-3, 2-3? You know, whatever that might be. One thing about Texas last year, you mentioned they don't have a lot of hitters there anyway, but their OBP was horrendous. They had nobody who could get on base. The only guy who's still there who could get on base, I think, at over a 325 clip was Nate Lowe. So we'll see. But the first thing I look at when I think of Texas, by the way, is, all right, you got John Gray. Real quick, name me another starting pitcher on Texas.
I had to look.
All right, you're talking Taylor Hearn, Dane Dunning, someone named AJ Alexi, and Spencer Howard.
It's not good.
Yeah, not good is that. That's pretty much how I would phrase it. I might use slightly stronger language. You've got work to be done here. I understand the A's, it looks like they're going to trade everybody away. And the Astros are still the Astros, and they're going to get Verlander back. I know they're going to lose Correa, but they have enough hitting to survive that. Seattle, mm-hmm. they're getting better. You know, they're getting better there. So the A's still have work to be done. This is not a playoff team because you spent, what, $500 million is what you spent here, but you're still not a playoff team, which is kind of scary. $500 million, and you're still not a playoff team.
Yeah. All right, now, what's funny is that when we participate in, what I guess they call them salary cap now, leagues, but I mean, to me, they were still auctions, and I wonder why we just can't go back to that. But I think if I'm not mistaken, George, and look, we don't know how things will play out, but there is certainly a chance that the most expensive pitchers in fantasy, in terms of starters, are both going to come from the Mets in 2022. Jacob DeGrom and Max Scherzer. DeGrom was out of this world, but didn't pitch a whole lot last year due to injury. And Scherzer was fantastic, finishing in the top five again in Cy Young voting. They also have Carlos Carrasco there too. Let's not forget. Mets are sort of loaded in that dynamic. But I don't know about overall, George, for fantasy. You know, and look, Corbin Burns could be somebody that goes ahead of these guys too. Zach Wheeler, no doubt. But legitimately have a chance that the Mets have the best 1-2 punch in the National League going into the year with the signing of Scherzer.
Oh, it's hard to argue with you. If I'm going to play devil's advocate, all right, I'm Buehler and Urias, maybe. Only, of course, DeGrom, how healthy is he? You know, does he have a tear in that elbow? Well, everybody has a tear in their elbow. The question is, to what degree is it? How close is he to tearing it completely? Or he needs Tommy John surgery, that sort of thing. You know, Scherzer, he gets hurt every year as well. Couldn't pitch in those, you know, in that important playoff game because he was done, just gassed. Yeah, I think it's probably a big part of the reason why he may not be back with the Dodgers right now. They may have been a little angry about that, you know. So they may think they should still be playing right now, should be hosting a trophy again if he could have gone. So I said that's devil's advocate. You know, I'm probably going to go with you here and say DeGrom and Scherzer are 1-2. They're certainly two of the top four, top five pitchers, no matter how you want to work it here. But I said I'll throw Walker Buehler in there. You know, Corbin Burns, okay. I don't know if I'm going to give you Zach Wheeler. You know, I think I'll need to see it again before I'm going to put him in the top five here. But who else are you going to go with? Brandon, are we going to go Burns Woodruff? Okay, interesting. But I'm still going to go with the track record of DeGrom Scherzer. I might give you Walker Urias, Woodruff Burns as far as being the second and third best. But I think the Mets have done a good job here. I think Cohen, he put his money where his mouth is, right? He was angry about what happened. And all of a sudden, okay, I'm going to get the next guy. He's going to come my way. And he got a guy that we didn't think would come back. Right? I think Scherzer's a big union guy, so he was going to take the biggest contract. And for 37 years old, $43 million a year for 3 years,
wow,
he got the biggest contract.
He really did. He really did. And the Mets definitely spent up. Starling Marte also, of course, involved in that. And they go into 2022 at the very least, if they're not the favorite to win the division, and probably the Braves should be. The Mets will be at least close right there. Yeah, Braves will be favorite, but Mets will be favored to be second. Okay, now the Blue Jays have also made some pretty big moves, not on the offensive side because their offense has been great, but on the pitching side, Hyunjin Ryu will open up their rotation next year, but I have a feeling Kevin Gausman works his way into the one. Of course, they traded for Jose Berríos. They have Alek Manoah and Ross Stripling, who could easily be a long reliever if they decide to use Nate Pearson or even make another trade, George. I think the Blue Jays are probably not done is the way that I see it. But we talked about this a little bit earlier. The Gausman for Ray swap is essentially what they did this offseason.
Yeah. I'd say as a Yankee fan, I'm not happy about this. I mean, if they're starting pitching, which looks good, right? Gausman, Berríos, Ryu, Manoah. And I think Pearson will be that guy. I don't know. He's not going to make 30 starts, but I think he'll be that guy. Maybe a split role with Stripling, something like that. And I agree with you. I don't think they're done either, whether it's another bullpen piece or another starting pitcher, whatever it might be. This is another team. Lots of money are up there in Toronto. They can do whatever they want to do. That pitching looks good. And we know they can hit. I don't care if they have Semien or not. Don't have Semien. I have a Guerrero, Bichette, Gurriel, Springer. Teoscar Hernandez, you go on and on with this team. You know they're going to mash in that ballpark. Because, like I said, it's the American League version of Coors Field. So, yeah, as a Yankee fan, I am not happy. We know Tampa's going to be good. Boston's revived quicker than we thought. Yankees, like I said, could have some problems here. Toronto might be the team to beat. And I'm not just talking next year. I'm talking for the next couple of years. Those guys I mentioned, they're all young.
Yeah. You're really quiet, the Boston Red Sox, by the way, George. Not a ton from them over the last few days, too. We'll see if that changes just in 24 hours. All right. Well, we have Fantasy or Reality coming up next, so stay on the grid. That's coming up. We're going to get into some baseball free agency. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more. And as a quick reminder, we're here every day, noon to 2 Eastern, on Fantasy Sports Today. So stay with us if you can. Great.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. If you thought you have had enough of me, that's going to be incorrect because I will be on a little bit later. Scott Farrell has a day off, but I will be on with Dane Martinez and Mike Carver a little bit later on Coast to Coast. And if you thought that you had enough of George, I guess that's not the case also. You'll be filling in tonight as well.
Yeah, what are these days off you guys get? All right, what is this? All right, this is not written in my contract anywhere. I'll be on in-game live at 8 p.m. tonight. So talk a little hockey. At least I hope we're talking hockey. 8 p.m. tonight, in-game live, I believe with, I want to say Gabe, but I'm not 100% sure on that.
All right. So NBA tonight, we got some college basketball tonight, some hockey as well. And of course, the baseball hot stove as we get ready. It's so crazy that we're getting ready for a lockout, you know, like that to me just doesn't ring right. All this activity and then we're going to have nothing probably for weeks. So some people think that there's reason to be optimistic here and this sort of has to happen. I guess I'll just go along with that. All right. As we wrap up here today for this Tuesday, it's time for us to kick it over to Brett Levy. He is very excited to deliver our questions today in Fantasy or Reality.
All right. Well, there have been some big baseball signings over the last few days, and none bigger than Corey Seager with the Texas Rangers getting over $300 million. But, George, last season in the Max Scherzer trade, the Dodgers also acquired Trey Turner in prep for the possibility that they may lose their star shortstop. So, George, I'll ask you. You would rather have Trey Turner than Corey Seager. Is this a fantasy or reality?
This is a tough question here. Would I rather have, it's really, what would you have, one superstar or the other superstar? Which guy do you want here? They're two different kinds of players, right? I think Seager's only starting to figure out the kind of player he can become here. I think he's going to have that power potential here. If you ask me as a Yankee fan, and Yankee Stadium, he did 40 home runs, right? I don't think there's any doubt about that. But the reason I'm going to choose Trey Turner is I think Turner's a more athletic player. Yeah, he's never going to hit 40, but he's going to hit 20 home runs, more athletic. He's going to steal some bases, which I still think is important in today's baseball, contrary to what analytics tell you. And more importantly for me, Trey's going to stay at shortstop. He's going to be a shortstop. I don't think Seager can be a shortstop for much longer. As I said before, you can make a pretty good argument that – Semien should be a shortstop over Seager now with Texas. That Seager should move to third base here. Not that changes his value all that much, but it does change his value. Turner will be your shortstop there. So I'm going to, if I had to pick one of the two here, I am going to pick Turner over Seager. But like I said, this is like picking your favorite dessert. Do I love this dessert or this dessert? You love them both. They're both great.
What did you have for dessert on Thanksgiving, George?
Chocolate pudding pie. I needed that after watching the Cowboys. I think I cried my tears in my pudding pie. I might still be crying tears.
That was a great game. Sorry. For me, I am going to say reality, Brett. I am going to say I would rather have Trey Turner than Corey Seager. Turner right now is cheaper. Turner right now is faster. Turner right now plays just as good, if not better, defense than Corey Seager. And also Trey Turner, if I'm not mistaken, can probably, I think, sling it a little bit better, given the fact that he has not been hurt nearly as much as Seager has. And Turner's injuries have been little nagging ones with his finger and things like that. So, look, the Dodgers are definitely going to miss out. I don't know what their plan is at this point. They've shocked us in years past with moves that they've made. And they acquired Yu Darvish 1 year. They acquired Manny Machado 1 year. They acquired Max Scherzer, let's not forget, last year, too. I think they still have something up their sleeve. But Trey Turner shifts over to short. No issue with it. I'm going to say reality, Brett.
All right. Our next question. And, Craig, we'll start with you for this one, because Jacksonville, just down the street from you in Miami, Florida there. So, Urban Meyer, one of quite a few first-year head coaches this year in the NFL. First-time head coaches this year in the NFL as well. We have David Culley with the Houston Texans, Dan Campbell with the Detroit Lions, Arthur Smith with the Falcons, Robert Saleh with the New York Jets, Brandon Staley with the Chargers, and Nick Sirianni with the Philadelphia Eagles. So, Craig, we'll start with you for this one. Urban Meyer is the worst first-year NFL head coach. Is this a fantasy or reality? And obviously we're asking because Notre Dame is wide open, and that is rumored to be his dream job.
Yeah, I think that he's going to end up in Notre Dame. But as far as first-year head coaches, I was thinking that Brett was going with the first-year head coach all-time on Urban Meyer. And I would say as an all-time first-year head coach, I would say no. If I'm not mistaken, you guys would have to check this, but there was a coach a few years ago for Arizona, and I'm not saying he was like a bad person, but this guy, Steve Wilks, ended up coaching 1 year with Arizona, losing a million games and gone. And I'm not sure how long this guy Cam Cameron was the head coach of Miami, but I don't think that he matches up here. So look, basically the way that I would answer with this is that, do I see David Culley of Houston being fired after the season? No. Do I see Dan Campbell after the season being fired from Detroit? I don't think so, but I would say, just for the sake of it, no. Arthur Smith is in there for the long haul with Atlanta. Robert Saleh is definitely in the long haul for the Jets. Brandon Staley's been okay. And Nick Sirianni has held his own. So I think this is an easy reality. I mean, Urban Meyer has been the worst head coach in terms of first-year guys this season. He's struggling a lot. They're not winning a lot of games. And if you ask me who is the most uncertain to be back with Jackson, with any NFL team, of the names that we're talking about here, George, it definitely would be Urban Meyer. So pretty easy reality for me here. The only one that obviously is in play here is Campbell. But I don't know. Like, is Detroit just going to do a one-and-done with him? I suppose it's possible.
And let me first start by saying, it's so unfair to judge first-year head coaches. All right, it just because generally they're the coach of a bad team. There's a reason why they got the job. The team sucks. All right, that's the reason why. And I'll be the first to tell you that if today's game was played 50, 60 years ago, there'd be no Tom Landry. There'd be no Duck Knoll. I'm not sure there's a Don Shula. All right, because all those teams struggled at that first. They wouldn't last in today's game. Right? You're not giving these guys time. All right, that being said, the choice comes down to really three in my mind. Urban Meyer, he's definitely top three. And you mentioned the other two, Saleh and Campbell. All right, Saleh, mainly because a couple of things. One, you're a defensive head coach. Your defense has been deplorable. I mean, this year. I mean, that just kind of strains me. I thought the Jets defense this year would be okay. It would be the offense that would be a work in progress, but sort of the other way around here. So, you know, it is what it is. They're a little strange there. The trading with Joe Flacco, too, made no sense. Why, when you're a two-win team that's going nowhere, are you giving up a draft pick for anyone, more or less Joe Flacco? And he wasn't vaccinated and poisoned your whole team. Aces, guys. You got that one right. Campbell, all right, he's fun with the press conferences. I admit, he's a joy. He's crying one time. He's biting ankles and chewing on kneecaps or whatever he's doing. I'm not so sure he's ready to be a head coach. But once again, the team was – I don't care if Landry or Norwood dug up and they were going to be the new coach of the Detroit Lions this year. They weren't winning more games than what Campbell's doing. That team's bad, really bad. Lucky to get the tie. But Urban Meyer, once again, this is definitely a reality. Forget the fact that he made it, you know, an ass of himself with that at that bar. What did Andy Agar say? That the Notre Dame job is not the only thing that fell in his lap this year. Great line. I mean, his offense is deplorable. It's just they're running routes or combination schemes you just do not see. And I don't mean that as a good way. You just don't see that in the NFL.
Right.
So, yeah, I think this is reality. I think he is the worst head coach. For what it's worth, he said, hey, he's not taking any college football job. But when can you tell a coach is lying? When his lips move.
Definitely true.
All right, our last one. And, George, this probably applies to you slightly more than Craig and myself, but we're going to ask it anyway because there is going to be a shortage of mall Santas. Mall Santas, there are companies reporting a 125% increase in the amount of jobs they're taking in this year from the previous 2 years with the COVID stuff. So, George, we'll start with you for this one. You have taken a photo with a mall Santa. Is this a fantasy or reality?
Oh, God. Now, keep in mind, when I was of that age, and like I'm going to the mall last week to take a photo with Santa.
Sure.
When I was of that age, we really didn't have malls. Right? They weren't a big thing back then. They didn't come out really till the 80s, and I was above that age. As far as you know, I was above that age. You know, maybe I'd like to take a picture with Santa, Craig, all right? You know, put my little wish list up there. That being said, my mom does have a photo of me with a picture with Santa. I think back then it was at Sears is my guess here. I believe that's what it is, and I am crying my eyes out. I am wailing. And she still has this picture, and she brings it out every now and then. Thanks, Mom. It's sort of a yes, sort of no, depending on by what you asked. No, I've never taken a picture in a mall with Santa, but it's sort of the same thing. It's just what you went to Sears back then. That's what you did here. And like I said, wailing my eyes out over the big fat man in the red suit and white beard.
Yeah. Brett, I got to bring you back here for a minute. I was not clear. Did you say that there is a shortage of mall Santas? Is that what you said? I just wanted to be clear on this.
They said to be prepared for a shortage of mall Santas that, you know, you used to just go to your mall and there'd always be a Santa. That may not be the case this year, Craig.
Unbelievable. So I have a hard enough time getting cream cheese these days. Now I can't even get a mall Santa. Okay, so have I taken a picture with a mall Santa? I'm going to say this is a reality. Only because I think that when my daughter, and she is, how old now? She is 15 now. I think maybe when she was 2 and we were at the mall, she may have seen a Santa and wanted to take a picture with him. And I think that in order for that to get done, I think I had to do it. I don't think that she went by herself. If you asked me, George, to locate this photo and prove that it existed, I would have to say I cannot do it. But for the sake of answering this, I do think that I made my way into a mall Santa photo within the last 20 years. But it was for my daughter. And I sort of remember maybe her saying that she didn't want to do it by herself. And so then I did it. My son, definitely not. He's 9 years old. And I definitely never did it myself. So technically, George, even though it wasn't my photo, I think that that counts. And that's funny to me that you never took your kids to get a mall Santa photo and then you didn't end up. I don't know. I'd have to see the proof on that.
My wife's not a big thing on that. She is a big mall person, but not bigger than mall Santa. Maybe they have, and I don't remember. I do know I had to do something sort of what you're talking about where you want to get your kid. This is at the Sesame Street and with the red freak, Elmo. And I think it was my oldest wanted to get her to take a picture with Elmo. And I'm sort of in the picture at the end. You can see me trying to get her in there because she's not quite comfortable. She's not crying, but she's not quite comfortable. So you do sort of see me in the picture as I'm trying to get. It's okay. Red freak, take the picture. So I understand where you're going with that. But that was with Elmo, not Santa.
Yeah, well, George always is a sensitive man on the show, calling Elmo the red freak. We really appreciate that.
There's
George.
A story behind that.
I'm sure that. Well, maybe you want to tell it next because we got the Sports Grid 60 coming up. George is going to close out our show today, so stay on the grid. He'll have that for you. Break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back, Fantasy Sports Today. And Craig is out the rest of the day. You got me. So for our Sports Grid 60 today, we will do, Craig threw to me about the Elmo story. And it actually is sports related. Now, well, most of us, listen, if you're watching the show, you're probably football crazy like the rest of us are. I live for my football Sundays, right? The best thing about this job by far is if my wife wants to do anything on a football Sunday, sorry, honey, I can't. I have to work. You know, and that work is really, for the most part, me watching the games. And I have two kids. My oldest daughter is 15. My youngest daughter is 11. Years ago, Elmo, the red freak, when my kids were toddlers, you know, my oldest couldn't have been no more than, I would say, didn't talk. So 1-2 years old, or didn't talk much. 1-2 years old. And so I'd be watching the games right here in this room. And my daughter would be in the other room, you know, with all her toys in there and whatever, TV, and it's blocked off. She can't get out, so she's safe. But, you know, you put your kids down for a nap. And me being the great dad I am, I always time that nap for halftime, where most of the 1 o'clock games are at half. All right, but when she went down for a nap, she had to have Elmo. Now, keep in mind, this is a 1-2-year-old kid. All right, and what is she? I go there, okay, nap time. And I can't find Elmo. And it's, you know what kids are. There's like 8 million toys all over the place. And I am ripping this room apart looking for Elmo. I mean, I am so mad that I can't find Elmo. A little doll about yo big. And I can't find his red freak. And she's there with an evil little look on her face. It didn't dawn on me at the time, you know. But she's got that grin on her face. She hid Elmo on me. A 1-2-year-old kid hid Elmo. It was in an ice cream truck that she had where there's a compartment there. And she hid Elmo in there. So yeah, I am not a fan of Elmo, as it took me about a half hour to find this guy. I missed the opening second half of the games here. To this day, cannot stand the red freak. So yeah, not big on Elmo here. Like I said, I'm George Kurtz, filling in for Craig Mish. The next 2 days will be Davis, Matic, and I on Wednesday and Thursday. For Brett Levy, everybody at LTN, hope you enjoyed the show. We will see you tomorrow at noon Eastern Time. Great.